The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be back with you again. I was here last year during Missions Month, and it's exciting. So thank you, Bill. You guys probably already know what a legend Bill is, but we're grateful for him. What an amazing message that he gave for us last week as well. That was really great. Also want to say thank you to Pastor Chris for the invitation to be here this morning. You guys have one of the best Bible teachers in all of Queensland here pastoring with you during this time. And he is awesome. So just, I'm really grateful to be here this morning. If you're unfamiliar with the work of Compassion, we are in the business of releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And after pastoring for 20 years, it is my pleasure and my honor to step into a space where I get to advocate for these children that are living in extreme poverty and the churches that work alongside them to bring the hope and the life of Jesus to them. And so we're going to watch just a short video that explains a little bit about the work of Compassion if you're unfamiliar. I know there's heaps of people in here that are familiar, but for those that aren't, I think you'll be surprised at how church-focused and Christ-centered Compassion is. So let's watch that video.
Is it really possible to end poverty for a child? At Compassion, we say yes, and we've seen it happen again and again around the world. For over 70 years, Compassion's mission has been to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. We move with compassion because that's what Jesus did. Like the Good Samaritan, he moves toward the need, bringing restoration and hope, and he calls us to do the same. We are a global neighborhood of 40 countries, working with over 9,000 local churches, supporting more than 2.3 million children. We work where the church already is, because we know that's where transformation begins. Our approach is strategic and long-term, built on three core programs delivered exclusively by the local church. Child sponsorship transforms a child's future through the love of a local church and a sponsor. Mums and Babies supports mothers and newborns in the most fragile season of life. Critical Needs provides targeted support to overcome barriers for children. What makes us different? We're Christ-centered, we're church-driven, we're child-focused. So this is how we move. One child, one church, one neighborhood at a time. And together, we're a global movement releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name.
That's just a little bit about Compassion. I'm honored and privileged to be able to share and advocate for those kids that are living in extreme poverty. I think it's an amazing opportunity to share with you guys on Mother's Day, right? Like who's better at providing a safe place for a child than a mom? I'm super pumped to have my wife with me this morning. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's amazing. She's capable. And I could just go on and on about how awesome she is, but it is my privilege to have her with me today. I doubt anybody in here was like me early in our marriage when our kids were young and, you know, people would ask me, what am I getting Ellie for Mother's Day? I'm sure nobody in here ever said the thing that I said, which was, she's not my mom. If I had a time machine, that would be what I would use it on. I would go back and I would choke that guy. What a dumb thing to say. But I'm so grateful that she has forgiven me for that and many other things. But I'm excited to be with you today to talk about compassion. The moms are such a big part of the program and walking with children and doing the things that they do. But I'm really excited because if you're not familiar, Compassion is a global ministry that's making a kingdom impact. As it said in the video, we're working with over 9,000 churches in 29 developing countries. And now we've seen over 2.4 million children released from poverty in Jesus' name. It's an amazing thing. And as you've seen in the video, we operate out of three basic core values that kind of are the foundation of everything that we do. Jesus is at the center. The local church is the hope of a community through Jesus. And we want to focus on children long-term and holistically, making sure that they have all the things they need to be everything that Jesus designed and redeemed them to be. And through the program, we have a few different things that we do. Child sponsorship, where we connect one loving sponsor with one child in extreme need. Right? The critical needs program, which we saw water and education and food and disaster relief. And, there are things like open heart surgeries that couldn't be done in the countries that these kids live in. But through generous local churches like North Pine and different sponsors, these kinds of things are able to happen through the critical needs program. But maybe my favorite is the moms and babies. Right? Walking into a church where the church has walked alongside 20 or 25 mothers through pregnancy in the first year of life of a child is an amazing thing. Because many people in developing places don't have the skills or the education to know what healthy children should look like or what they need. And so the church comes alongside to walk with them in wholeness and health. It's an amazing. These are so close to my heart. I love healthy and happy fat babies. And we get to see that in the local church. I want to encourage you that when you sponsor a child, you become so much more than just a financial contributor. You actually become a part of their discipleship journey, praying for them, writing letters to them, encouraging them to keep going and to not give up. You're helping develop in them a spirit of hope that is more powerful than the poverty that surrounds them. And on behalf of Compassion, I want to say thank you for the impact that you're having. Right now, you are sponsoring children in 13 different countries. On that map, you can see all the different countries that are there. It's like El Salvador and Colombia and Burkina Faso and Indonesia, all these different places. It's an amazing thing. And the impact that you're having is huge. It's 17 children that you're seeing released from poverty in Jesus' name that we know of. And if you're currently sponsoring a child with Compassion or have done so in the past, I want to say thank you. You're making a huge impact in the life of that child, that family, and that community. You're making a big difference. But not only are you making a difference to them, we're seeing communities transformed through the gospel of Jesus. Because we are providing access to education and access to medical care and nutritious food and mentorship to walk alongside children. But most importantly, you're helping these kids and these families find and follow Jesus. This is an amazing thing that you're doing. Through your letters, you're encouraging students to grow deeper in their relationship with Jesus. 89% of graduates of the program have said that their relationship with their sponsor has motivated them to deepen their relationship with Jesus. What a beautiful testimony to the power of relationship. This is a huge part why my family, we support children through Compassion as well. Through partnership with the local church, we see all these different things happening to see communities transform and change through the very presence of Jesus in a community. So thank you, because across the street and around the world, we're all invited to walk like Jesus, right? To love like Jesus. And I think that's how Bill kind of started off the message last week in this missions month that we're in is, what does love look like? What does it look like in everyday life? This is the way of Jesus that we've been invited into, is to show the world what love looks like. And I think for me, and on Mother's Day especially, I think the thing that love is most present in is something called selfless service. And at the heart of selfless service, we find humility. We find the mind of Jesus. And I think if we're to look into Scripture, we would see that God's desire has always been for humble people. Or we see this in Micah 6:8. You might be familiar with this verse, but this is what it says. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I know that this comes from a portion of scripture in the Old Testament that is called the Minor Prophets, right? And sometimes the Minor Prophets are easy to overlook because they can be a little confusing. Like, what's really going on? What is the prophet really saying? And I think Micah is a picture of that. It's an amazing book, but we got to dig a little bit deeper to see what he's really talking about. You see, this book of Micah, this verse that we just read, it sits in the middle of a kind of a courtroom-style confrontation between God and the people of Israel. The prophet Micah ministered during a time of corruption, injustice, idolatry, and spiritual hypocrisy in both Israel and Judah. It was around the 8th century B.C. That was a long time ago. But I think if we were to take a look at our world today, we would find many of the same problems, not just in the church, but in the world around us. Hypocrisy, injustice, idolatry, apathy. And in dramatic language, the prophet is laying out this case that God has been faithful, that his people have not been faithful. He reminds them how he's protected and provided for them. Right? The issue has not been God's faithfulness, but it's been the people's hearts. There's this almost sarcastic reply back to God after the case has been made. And they kind of say sarcastically back to God, but what have you required from us? What does God want from us? Is it burnt offerings? Is it thousands of rams? Is it rivers of oil? Would you go even so far as to want my firstborn as a sacrifice? Right, it's this deep kind of sarcastic reply back to God. It's as if they thought religious obligation could be a substitute for inner obedience. They wanted ritual. They didn't want relationship with God. But Micah 6 is God's answer to this reply. You know, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. It's to act justly. It's to love mercy. And it's to walk humbly with your God. It's easy for us, I think, in today's day and age to check the box of religious obligation. It's another thing completely to surrender our hearts to Jesus and his way of doing life. Micah was speaking to a people who had become so religious outwardly, but inside they had become very, very proud. They offered sacrifices. They practiced all the rituals. They knew the right words to say. They knew the right actions to do, but their hearts were disconnected from what God wanted and who God was. And God says, what I actually want is justice. It's mercy. It's humility. Not performance. Not religious showmanship. Not spiritual pride. God is drawn to humble hearts. I think of the story of King David where, you know, Samuel says to him, you know, man looks on the outward, but God looks on what's inside. Selfless service starts with a heart that is authentically connected to God and his people in humility. You see, our ego says, notice me, right? Like, serve me, reward me. But humility has a different call. Humility has the call of Jesus, which says, how can I help? God has always desired humble people. And Jesus is the revelation of that humility. And when I think about the humility of Jesus, I'm always drawn to Philippians chapter 2. And here's the verses from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus had every right to remain enthroned in heaven, yet he willingly stepped down. The Creator entered creation. The King became a servant. The Holy One walked among broken people. And I think it's really important for us to notice the connection that Paul is making here. He connects humility directly to servanthood. Jesus humbled himself by serving others. Selfless service is what love looks like. You see, humility is not merely an attitude. It becomes visible through service. Jesus didn't just teach compassion. He modeled it. He demonstrated it. He touched lepers. He welcomed children. He fed hungry people. He healed the broken. He wasn't too busy for the overlooked and the unlikely. You see, these are all different groups of people that were of no use to those who were in charge, or no use to those who were doing it right, or looked like they had it all figured out on the outside. These were those who were cast out, were unclean, could not be of any use. But Jesus made time for them. Jesus actively sought them out. Jesus demonstrated what selfless service looks like by loving them. Maybe the most wild thing is that he even washed the feet of those who would betray him. I love how John 13 says that he showed his disciples the full extent of his love, and he picks up a towel and he bends low and he washes their feet. This is what selfless service looks like. This is spiritual and it's practical. It affects everything in our life if we let it. It affects our relationships, our marriages, maybe even the way that we parent or grandparent. It affects our friendships, our leadership. It affects the atmosphere in our workplaces, the way we volunteer, and even the heart behind our generosity. Selfless service asks some simple questions. It asks, who is being overlooked? How can I make someone's burden lighter? Who can I encourage? Or who can I help? The world, the enemy, Satan, my own selfish desires want me to chase personal greatness. They want me to chase personal gain. It's hard to divert away from that way of thinking. But Jesus invites us to do something different than chase after power or position or prestige. He invites us to follow him, to chase after him. He said, if you want to follow me, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. This is what love looks like. I remember many years ago, I was learning how to play guitar. I was a part of a missions organization called Youth of the Mission. You may have heard of it. It's where young people come together. They learn how to do cross-cultural ministry. They learn how to be disciples of Jesus, and then they're released into the world to share the gospel. And I was young. I was, you know, in my early 20s, and I was probably more interested in traveling and girls than anything else, just being honest. And I thought, you know what, the best way to catch a girl's eye is to learn how to play guitar. Anybody with me? And so I began learning how to play guitar. One of my roommates had a guitar. He let me borrow it. And YWAM is known for not having a lot of money. They're always, young people are always asking their parents and others for money to do missions. And so one of the big things in Youth of the Mission was we wanted to be very generous. And so we would have times of generosity where we would just give things away. And somebody gave me a guitar. And like I was over the moon. It was a beautiful, like, blonde acoustic Ibanez guitar. It had these little inlays in the fretboard that were just amazing. And it didn't make me play any better, but it was awesome. And I loved it. And I cherished it. And then somebody came and asked me if they could borrow it to lead worship on an outreach. I didn't even hesitate. I said, no way. And he was like, he was a bit shocked, and he was like, okay, and went on. And, you know, I couldn't understand why he would ask me if he could borrow my brand new guitar. Like, I was so protective of it. If I wasn't playing it during my devotional time, I was probably cleaning it with one of my t-shirts, right? It just gleamed in the corner. And, you know, I was super convicted. God was very, very kind to me in sharing with me about how I was selfish. It's just a guitar. It's not a big deal. He reminded me that I had done nothing to deserve the guitar. And ultimately, it wasn't my guitar to begin with. It was his. I didn't pay for it. I didn't even know how to play it properly. I could play Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. That was about it. I wish I could say that I went and changed my mind immediately, that I went and chased him down and I said, hey, take the guitar. But for many of us, being human is a condition that takes a little bit more time to overcome. When my pride gets involved, when I feel like I don't have enough or I'm not enough, I have this like anxious response. I wonder if you're familiar with it, where you just kind of want to hold on more tightly to the things that you think are yours. When Jesus is inviting us to live with open-handed generosity, to trust him. I remember laying in my bunk, just overwhelmed with the thought that I just need to give this guy my guitar. And I fought it. I was like, that can't be God talking to me. I just got this guitar. But like, it just was this overwhelming sense that this was the thing that was holding me back from being who God wanted me to be. And I remember grabbing the guitar and going to his room and knocking on the door. And he didn't even answer. His wife answered. And I just handed her the guitar. And I said, look, I'm giving this person this guitar. And she was overwhelmed. And I just like ran away. Right? But like I remember the sense of relief that I had of, you know, when you know that God has said something to you and you keep fighting it and you keep fighting it and you keep fighting it. And then when you finally let go of whatever it is that's holding you back from doing the thing that God has asked you to do, there's that relief, that freedom. After you have the conversation, after you give away the guitar, after you make the choice, after you stand up for what's right. Right, this idea that we know, right? I think we know that we know when God says something to us. But when pride or ego or any number of other things get in the way of living this humble and Christ-like way, it's challenging. Let me ask you this. Are you a giver or are you a taker? I've been both. I vacillate in between where I should be and where I want to be and where I am. I've been on the good side of one and the bad side of the other. But let me ask you, in regards to that question, who are the vulnerable people around you that you can stand up for? Is your faith visible in real and practical ways? Because true selfless service shows up in how you treat people and how deeply you rely on God. I'm still not very good at guitar. I can play a little. I could play on the worship team if somebody asked me, but they'd have to be desperate. But I can say that I've learned to rely on God, and you know, I've never actually had to pay for a guitar. Every time that I have been in a season where I've wanted to play one, God has mysteriously given one to me. And I don't think that's because I'm any better than anybody else. I believe it's because I've let go of pride in my life when it comes to chasing greatness with a guitar. I don't need to have a guitar anymore. But what I do need is I want to be right with Jesus. I want to walk with him. And I don't want anything in my heart that would keep me from walking with him in the direction that he's going. I'd like to introduce you to a girl named Grace. Grace is there in the middle. And when I think about selfless service, I think about Grace's mom. I met Grace on a trip to Central Java last year. Grace's father left when she was very young. So it was just her mom, her older twin siblings, a boy and a girl. The boy is a worship leader for the church, and the girl is an admin for a local accounting business. And there's a tall young man on would be your right, and just next to him is Grace's mom. And that tall young man is Grace's cousin, who she calls her younger brother. Grace's dad left when she was very young, and they didn't have enough of anything to make ends meet. And so they registered Grace into the Compassion Program, and now she had access to education. They had access to food, security in their life, and things were pretty amazing for them in their season of life. But that doesn't mean things were easy. Right? Grace's mom became a mentor for the local church program. So what that means is that she has a group of children, about 25 children that are in the Compassion Program that she meets with weekly. And she teaches them Bible verses, and she helps them write letters to sponsors, and she takes them to their medical checkups, and she visits them in their home. She's like their own personal youth pastor. She's amazing. But again, it wasn't enough to make ends meet. And so she took on a side job of washing clothes. So she washes other people's clothes to pay for the things that they need. And now that her children are older, Grace is 18 and her twin siblings are 20, with the income that they bring in, they're able to pay for the rent of their house, which is the room that they're in there. It's two rooms, they're equal size, that's all it is. It's $90 a month. And this is what they work together to afford. When I think about selfless service, I think about Grace's mom and how Grace has impacted, Grace's mom has impacted her to be so generous. We were there, I was there with some Korean pastors, and we sat in that little room, and Grace, more than anything, wanted to cook for us. And so she made us this dessert that is well known in Bandung, which was boiled corn. And then it was mixed with butter and sweetened condensed milk, and then they shaved tasty cheese over the top of it. Sounds appetizing, doesn't it? And as we're sitting there in the room with Grace and her mom, and they're so excited to give it to us, the Korean pastor, he's sitting next to her, and she hands him the first one, and he just kind of looks around and hands it right to me. And I'm like, okay, and it was actually really good. I was a bit worried with the ingredients. But you see, it's easy for us to think about poverty only in terms of like economics or having enough money, not having access to clean water, not having access to healthcare. It's all of those things. But it's even more than that. It's doing whatever it takes to make ends meet. Washing someone else's clothes, teaching someone else's children, being in a place where even doing all of the right things doesn't mean that you're going to have a full belly at the end of the day. And I was sitting in that room with Grace, with her mom, with her brother and her sister and her younger brother who was her cousin, and I began to hear the story of him, 8 years old. He was kicked out of his house on the streets because he's autistic. And he lived hundreds of kilometers away from Grace and her family, yet he found his way there And the mother didn't even blink. She just said, we're going to take him in. We're going to bring him into our family. He's no longer our cousin. He's our younger brother. She didn't have anything in which to do this with. She had no way of making a way for him. But she knew it was the right thing to do. You see, poverty robs communities and families of hope, of agency. But the thing that combats that the most is someone who knows what love looks like. And it invites us to do the same where we live, with what we have, with how we operate, the way in which we manage our finances and our time and our talents. What are the things that we can do to show the world what love looks like? You see, today, it's about 412 million, million children that are living in extreme poverty. And when we think about that number, it's a crazy number. 412 million children living in extreme poverty. That means less than $3 a day, according to the World Health Organization. That's a crazy number. But if we think about trying to fix that for every child in poverty, it's overwhelming. But I think if we think about it in terms of I can change that for one child, it becomes possible. It becomes an opportunity. It becomes a way to show the world what love looks like. Sponsoring a child and all that it will bring to their life costs $1.80 a day. It's about $13 a week or $55 a month. So I want to invite you this morning to be a part of that. I'm so grateful for the missional attitude that this church has. Every year when I come, I see how you're doing that across the street and around the world. I'm so excited that today there's an opportunity for a bake sale for you to invest in the lives of young people through the quiz and Dan, what she's doing. That's amazing. The way in which you're doing work with Baptist World Aid and the rest of the things that this church is involved with. I'm so grateful for that. I want to say thank you for the way in which you're sponsoring children. But I want to invite you to do that. If you are not doing that, I want to invite you to sponsor a child today. To think about how you can show the world what love looks like. That you can show one child that's living in extreme poverty, that you care, that you believe in them, and that God has a plan for their life. It's an opportunity to bring a voice of hope, one that's more powerful than poverty, into the lives of one of these children. One of the things that I like to think about when my family does it is what are the things that I mindlessly spend money on? And I know for me in our house, it's coffee. We love our coffee. And it seems like the prices of coffee have just gone up again. I went recently and bought a black coffee. It was $6. And I was like, that's a lot of money for a black coffee. But you know, through the Compassion Program, to feed, clothe, educate, mentor, disciple, introduce to Jesus, it costs, you could, if you're for a cup of coffee, that's over 3 kids that we could sponsor. That's a crazy number. Today, as I finish, I want to leave you with a story of Andrea and Nova. And Andrea and Nova are mothers, one in Perth, Australia, one in Indonesia. And when I think of selfless service, this is the inspiration that I think of. And so as we finish today, and I'll come up after the video, but I want us to see this child story, to see a picture of what selfless service looks like. One mom in Australia, one mom in Indonesia. Let's go ahead and watch that video.
I thank God for you. In quiet moments and when life gets loud, I feel connected to you. I see your smiles in my son's face as he reads your letters. I pray for you, dear mother of a different dear son.
Sometimes I imagine what life is like for you,
try to see myself in your situation. Life is so busy. Every day is full. But I look forward to meeting you. I want to see our boys play together. This life is so fragile and precious. I work and work, but can't give everything a family needs. But I know the one who can. I pray you will live in him and that he will fill your heart with courage and grace. I can't wait to see you.
I can't wait to see you. Your family, your life is blessing to mine.
I want to thank you for thinking and praying for my family from across oceans.
I pray the same prayer for your son and mine.
May their hearts love God and always give their best.
May they be kind and generous. May they always chase after wisdom and joy.
Every day, I pray they will shine Jesus' light into the world. No matter where they are or who they're with, may they run and never run out.
I know this is a day we will never forget.
We are different, but we are the same. Created in His image.
Children of the living God.
Filled with His love for us. Be of great courage, sister.
Live in hope. He is with us.
He is with us.
We love you.
This is what love looks like. Ending poverty for one child. Buying something from the bake sale. Walking across the street and loving our neighbor as Jesus invited us to. I would love to talk to you after the service at the table, introduce you to some children that you could possibly sponsor. Every week I have the privilege and the honor of sharing in churches and standing with people at the table to pick out children to sponsor, to change their life. To change their destiny. And I want to say thank you that you would trust us, that you would partner with us is an honor. And I don't take that lightly. Standing there with moms and, you know, kids picking maybe a child that is around the same age or, you know, someone who's a bit older and, you know, maybe lost their sponsor and has only got a little bit of time left in the program. There's lots of different opportunities that we could take to make a difference in the life of a child. So I invite you to come and have a chat with me while you grab a cup of coffee and make good use of spending your money on those baked goods. So thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for all the moms in the room today. God, we pray a special blessing over them. God, we thank you for the way in which you protect and you provide. God, the way in which you have shown us the way of love through humility and selfless service. God, today I pray that you would stir our hearts to live the way that Jesus did, to do the things that he modeled us to do. Stir our hearts for these precious children. Stir our hearts for our mothers. God, help us to walk in the way of love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.